Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Choose Happy podcast. I'm your host, Nazi Javid. And today's topic is something that sprung out of a social media post I did about what you would tell your 18-year-old self. And my special guest, my hubby, Eddie Wilson. Stay with us. Welcome back. Say hi, Ed.
Hello.
That's how you say
that's
hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hello out there. Cheerio.
Sorry. Hello, everyone.
Ed's just recovering from his injury in which the tree is not in custody. If you missed it on social media, Ed was walking, did a little trippity trip over a curb, and smash faced into a tree. He got several stitches, which
I
were
did.
Just removed yesterday.
They are out now, at least.
Now his nickname is Scarface.
It will be. It looks kind of bad, but hopefully it gets smaller over time. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just glad you're okay and you're not severely, you know, damaged long term.
Not severely.
Not at least
severely.
Not physically.
Sure, it happened though. I still try and play it back in my head, and I think I was either close to the curb or I tripped on the curb and I either stepped one step short, like I anticipated a step that wasn't there, and I fell forward, or I'm still not quite sure how I managed to do it, but I did it. Did a good job.
So, I love you so much, and I'm glad you're okay. Barbie says she's glad you're okay, too. So, this topic, you know, we wanted to come on and speak with you guys. You guys have been asking us to do a podcast for a long time. We did a couple episodes, and then we kind of left you hanging. So, here we are. We're back again. But I wanted to talk about what I would have told myself, or what, Eddie, you would have told yourself, your 18-year-old self. I posted this question on social media the other day, and I said, in no more than three words, what would you tell your 18-year-old self? What advice would you give your 18-year-old self that you know now that you wish you knew then?
Gosh, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of things when I think back that I could have done differently if I would have been able to talk some sense into myself.
Like what?
Financial responsibility and stuff like that, probably early on. You know, it's like save your money.
That's the number one.
Manage your credit. Just because you can doesn't mean you should buy it. If you can't pay cash for it, you know, there's certain things I would tell myself, hey, if you can't afford it in cash, if you can't buy it in cash, as far as just everyday items that you might go and buy, that would be a nice to have, but not necessary, you know. And
I can totally speak to that. When I was 18, everybody sent me credit card offers, and I was like, right. Oh yeah, you know, Nordstrom and all these, you know, Macy's, and I just got all these credit cards and maxed everything out and didn't really understand what I was doing and sent my dad all the bills, and then my mom came and paid them all off for me, and it was just like this huge ordeal. And so grateful for that, by the way. And then I never got credit cards after that. I mean, I think I got like one through my bank. I had like two basic credit cards after that I was, because I had made mistakes when I was younger and maxed out all these cards, I never wanted to do that again. So then I didn't use my credit cards, which was another problem.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, so
lack of use can also impact your credit negatively, because if you have these open accounts and you don't ever make a purchase that can be paid off, it's...
What's the purpose of having them? So I think that's something that I would have told my 18-year-old self is, you know, how to manage credit and to start working on credit early on.
Early on. Yeah, I definitely would have done that. And I, you know, it's funny. I had my first bank account at Wells Fargo early on in my life, like right when I turned, and it was probably, I think right at 18 is when I started actually putting money maybe in the bank or bank account. I know a lot of people probably do that sooner, but at that time I was working, so between 17 and 18, so I'm probably 17, but I didn't get my first credit card, debit card, until 18. So, and that was when the first credit card came, a student credit card, and I managed it okay for a little bit, but then I got a little complacent and got like, oh yeah, that's nice to have. I mean, I just like, again, started feeling like purchasing stuff without, you know, with the purpose of trying to build credit, but instead, you know, making purchases were unnecessary just because I could at that time. And I didn't have a lot of credit. I mean, it was a substantial amount. And obviously, it grows from there once you establish yourself. And I stayed with the same bank for a number of years, or 25 plus years. And so, you know, anyway, so I would have done a lot of things differently there, you know, and I didn't, and I'm not sure why, like, I didn't get more crazy. I never was able to buy anything too big, but just, to, you know, everything from meals to other stuff that you could put on a credit card, I did, and just didn't manage it well enough then. And
I remember on one of my birthdays, I had a $5,000 Amex credit card limit, and I maxed that out on VIP drinks for my friends on my birthday. Oh my God. At a club in San Francisco, because that was important. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Right. But definitely financial awareness
is important.
Planning mm-hmm. at 18 early on would have mm-hmm. been a smart move.
Absolutely.
Number two. I would tell myself, my 18-year-old self, self-care is not selfish.
Right.
I think I spent, and I'm still struggle with this, but I think I spent a majority of my time as a young adult being a people pleaser, mm-hmm. you know, being there for everybody else, mm-hmm. serving everyone else. And I love being of service. That's another thing I would say, you know, in a positive respect is be of service. That is something that I've learned mm-hmm. so much from and I think has molded me into a better person over the years. But there, you have to have boundaries, right? And for me, I will quickly put myself last to put somebody else first mm-hmm. because I want everybody else to feel okay. And I want them to know that I care and I want to be right. there for them. And I want to be present for all of their events. But meanwhile, I'm filling up everyone's cup and mine's empty. Right. So I think, you know, at 18, at a younger age, if I would have learned, like, it's okay to say no, and I'm still a good person if I set boundaries for myself and practice self-care. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be right. a people pleaser. That's a hard one.
It is.
It's still a hard one for me. I'm better at it now, but I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Another one for me, number three, would be eat healthy, stay healthy, put health first. Mm-hmm. Learning how those natural healthy habits when you're young, because, you know, God, when I was 18, I was drinking alcohol every day, dancing on the bars, going to college, somehow graduated with honors. I have no idea how I did all that. But, you know, we would go to every night we were at the bar. So every night we would go get something greasy after, you know, 24-hour diner or Jack in the Box. Jumbo Jack with cheese was like our go-to, you know, and I'm size double zero at the time. It doesn't really matter. You know, you don't think it matters what you're putting right. into your body, but then you develop all these like bad habits and then you go out into the real world and you don't know how to cook. You don't know how to balance nutrition. You don't know what foods are good for your body or not because your body wasn't responding to all of those mm-hmm. in the same way that it does as an older adult.
Definitely.
Eat healthy, man. Plan. Live a healthy lifestyle starting at a young age.
Eat healthy. Yeah. I was pretty careless then too, but then I was an 18-year-old. I was still fairly athletic in the sense of I was playing baseball still, even though it was right at the end of what my baseball career was as far as high school and stuff like that. I didn't play past high school, but American Legion baseball. So I think I played my last year, 18 or 19. So I was still really active then. And so, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy to do that and to just eat whatever. I mean, it wasn't like you ate on the road all the time or you ate, you know, fast food was kind of commonplace, especially at school or after school or before school. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting into healthy habits. I think that's something that is important for me to teach my kids now too, is like start your healthy habits now, mm-hmm. because anything that you do in life, that's a habit, it becomes, you know, life is based on habits, right? It comes naturally to us. If you started at a young age, it's really hard at an older age to change the way you've done things for so long. So I hope that some of our healthier lifestyle, like right now, we don't keep soda in our house. You know,
right.
We don't keep sugar in our house. Like it's just, we're very, like you won't, if you need a teaspoon of sugar, good luck to you. Cause we don't.
Yeah.
Keep it in
we
house.
Don't have a whole lot. Yeah. You don't have to be able to find a whole lot of sugar in our house.
We try to limit, you know,
a little bit, you know, for us anyways. I mean, the kids are always, you know,
they have their sugary snacks.
Grandparents, you know, there, but, my mom, yeah,
she smuggles,
my mom
soda.
Smuggles soda into Isaac and or he'll come up with a brown bag. You're like, where did that come from? Brown bag in a can. Like, what are you carrying in there?
Oh, soda is so bad.
I mean, though. I guess it could be worse. It's not, he's not sneaking a beer up to his room, so yeah, I don't have to worry about that. So that's good.
Yeah, we've got all our kids on bubbly water.
Bubbly water, which was just a, you know, that, and that kind of came about because I, you know, made the decision, as you know, 4 years ago now to not drink anymore. And yeah, so bubbly water drink. Was my, bubbly water is my go-to. So yeah, I guess 3+. Yeah. Which, well, probably close, coming up on 4 years now where haven't had a drink. And so that was how we got the bubbly water in the house, and that turned into a favorite of the boys. And now we can
now we gotta narrowly... limit the bubbly water because it's like they're out of control, addicted to the bubbly water.
You can narrowly keep bubbly water in the house because with the boys now it's like because there's
it's
no
habitual, soda. You know, it which is great, you know, and water, drinking water, which is something that you, my dear,
I don't do enough of.
I'm always hustling you about there you go, he's drinking his water as I drink coffee. What a hypocrite. But that is another one. If we're going to go to number four, is I would tell myself, don't drink alcohol.
Yeah, that's a. Yeah.
That is something that it's just the payoff of drinking alcohol to me is not worth the price that you pay
right.
to your health, to the decisions that you make, to the words that come out of your mouth. It's just it's a crutch, and it's just an unhealthy, unnecessary habit. And, you know, I stopped drinking 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago. And, you know, you just like anything else, you replace it. Replace it with tea. Tea is my thing. You know, I love every different type of tea that there is. For me, it was just the habit of having something to drink instead of a nice glass of wine, have a nice cup of tea every day, you know?
Right.
And it's just a healthier way to live with a clear mind and not developing bad habits. And that can be anything. It can be eating, you know, junk food, sugar, mm-hmm. cheeseburger, whatever it is. It can be, what are some other bad habits that folks, about smoking, you know, different things like that.
So a lot of them out there. I mean,
whatever it is for you, I wish I at 18 could have said, hey, you know, this is going to become a bad habit,
right.
Try something else. And, you know, I taught dance in high school and in college and continued that throughout my career and, you know, and through Zumba and everything. And that's a healthy habit that I think is a better replacement if you're a younger person and you're thinking about, you know, how you're actively living your life every day. Because believe me, all of that stuff catches up to you. It really does.
Yeah, it certainly can. It will. I mean, it will. If not, if you don't manage it properly, you know, I think that we all go through our times in our life when we turn to a certain thing more often than not. And, you know, and that becomes, it can become an issue. And so I think, you know, and back then at 18, I would have told myself, you know, be smarter about it and don't do the things, you know, fortunately enough, I didn't find myself in a whole lot of trouble because of it, but it certainly didn't ever contribute to anything good.
Yeah. If you would have made a mistake the way when you were drinking, you wouldn't be a police officer today.
Correct.
You
know? I mean, if I would have made a significant mistake, you know, under the influence of alcohol, I would not, you know, if it would have ever harmed anybody or anything like that, I would never have
gotten to be.
So, I mean, a lot of, you know, choices that I could have done, certainly done better and just out of sheer luck. It was nothing that I did right. I mean, it was just out of sheer luck that I didn't end up as one of the people that have, you know, been arrested or hurt somebody at that time. I mean, that was as a young person, you're still trying to learn all of that, but your decision making isn't all that great. And then you add alcohol on top of it. And you know, it certainly, you know, contributes to
scares me for our kids,
lack of,
you know, like if they
judgment.
Ever get in that situation where they're feeling peer pressure or something.
That's the worst. I think if I were to go back and be able to tell myself is don't give in to people. If I could go back to add something to my list at 18 is don't let people influence you into doing something you otherwise wouldn't choose to do. I mean, and I can think of a number of things going back to when I was a kid that I allowed myself to out of peer pressure to do that, you know, and I know that schools talk about that. Parents talk about that with their kids, but I mean, it just is what it is. Like it's so out there, you know, you feel like you have to, you want to be liked, you want to be accepted with the people that you're with. And that shouldn't be the case. You should never have to base your friendship off of whether or not you're going to do something that they were going to do, you know,
and mostly
when it comes to like, you know, and I, in my time period, it was, you know,
in my day,
but in that time period, my 18-year-old time frame, it was, you know, I was right on the edge of having an idea what I wanted to do. So those couple of years leading up to my 18th birthday, I certainly made more poor decisions and allowed myself to be influenced more and use marijuana before or used, you know, alcohol.
I can't believe I ever smoked pot before in my life. I am such an anti smoker, drinker. Like, I'm so our kids think I'm square, like a square bear.
Never do it unless alcohol was involved. That was the whole thing. Like, I wasn't one of those people that would smoke marijuana. I was always at a party, and it was always after I'd had a lot to drink, which again goes right up there. Again, feeling influenced by people. And that was, you know, something I could tell. If I could go back now and tell myself, you know, be smart. Like, you don't ever have to do anything you don't want to do. And don't let people's, you know, judgment, or if they give you a hard time,
they're not influence your real friends, you because, they do.
You know, and so, yeah, that is certainly something I would have added to the list, you know, and trying to be smart. Again, fortunately enough, I survived that era, that part of my life without any real health issues because of that. And obviously it had to be free and clear of stuff after I turned 18 to be a cop. I knew I wanted to be a cop. And so to get into law enforcement, you know, the background process is very stringent. And so you have to be very open. You have to open your life, everything you did leading up to that moment. And so I knew I didn't want to, you know, have any more to tell than I already had to tell, you know, to get my job, you know. I had to own plenty of stuff, you know, going into, you know, getting hired as a police officer, but, you know, you obviously didn't want to carry any more with you. And there is a limit. There's a limit to what's acceptable, you know, as somebody transitions, you know, into law enforcement. I mean, because the expectation is so high, as it should be, you know, for the people that are doing what you're doing.
There's no room for error, and there's no room for poor judgment, and
not with that. And so that's, you know, the reason why there's such heavy restrictions, even though certain things have become, you know, as far as legalization of marijuana does not apply to public safety. It's just a different thing. It's just what public safety views as something that is not acceptable for people in law enforcement, public safety to be engaged in as a recreational issue.
That's good. So I think something else, what around number five, what I would tell myself at 18 is just do it. Just try it. Whatever it is that is calling you, you know, that Rumi quote, what you seek is seeking you. So I remember being young and having all these dreams, but being afraid to go after them because what if it didn't work out? What if I didn't get called back for that interview? What if I didn't do a good job? What if somebody, you know, criticized me, judged me, you know, thought I was did a crap job and let me know it, you know, I was so afraid to try. Mm-hmm. It was so easy. And I remember when I graduated college and I went and I did my internship and I made the top 35 in the state to go to this prestigious internship in UCDC. And it was like this big deal. And that was fine because it was an internship. But then when it came to job searching, when I moved back home, I completed my internship. I interned at the White House, the Pentagon, the Capitol. I learned all this stuff. I was with Tribune Broadcasting. I shadowed these amazing reporters. I built a resume tape. That was back in the day when you actually had it on a tape. It was on VHS. My resume tape was on VHS.
Actually, you still have it.
I still have it.
Your stuff. It's in your, when we moved, it's actually in your stuff.
Don't tell anybody. Our kids don't even know what VHS is. But I remember it took me 9 months to find a job, and not because I wasn't qualified, but because I was afraid of rejection. I was afraid of applying and somebody telling me, no, you're not good enough. No, you don't have enough experience. No, you're not pretty enough. No, we're not going to put you on TV. No, your voice is annoying. No, like what all the no's that I could think of were like saturated in my brain instead of the possibility of like, maybe there's a yes, and maybe I can have this amazing career that I'm dreaming of that I do get to live today. But I didn't know that back then. And I remember I had a professor in college. My first, it was my psychology class. I took it a community college class when I was a senior in high school. Stop fiddling, babe. All that's going to pick up on the mic. She was a psychology professor in college. And she told us, when you walk in the door and you don't have a job, and then when you walk out and you don't have a job, you didn't lose anything. It's okay if you walk away without a job because you didn't lose anything. And so with that perspective, it was like, okay, you know, like why not try? Because I have nothing to lose. And that's something that still applies today. And, you know, I get to be in this wonderful position. And that's that, you know, I think we're all human, right? It's always easy to be harder on myself than other people would be. So even in this position of leadership that I have now as a news director, I remember when I was, they, you know, proposed this to me. I didn't apply for it. They brought it to me. I didn't think I was qualified. You know, why would I be qualified? And other people saw in me what I didn't even see. I was already doing the job. So I think it's important to always remember that we are a lot more talented than we think. We're a lot smarter than we think. The universe is calling us to be a little bit braver. That's what I would tell myself at 18.
I still struggle with that part. You know, you would think that, you know, I didn't test for sergeant the first time I was eligible to out of a lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. Even though I was a confident police officer, I felt confident in my ability to go out and to do the job and even to train other people to do it. But I felt I lacked the confidence I didn't want to expose myself to being placed in a position when I couldn't answer a question correctly, mm-hmm. as far as even on a oral interview, or was worried about what the testing process was going to be. And it took me a while to get over that. And I passed on the first two different times that I could have applied, and not that I would have promoted then. There's no saying that I would have had the opportunity then. I would have even tested it well enough to do, but I wouldn't have known. I would have known more going into the latter part of my career that put me in a position to become a sergeant. If I had done that ahead of time, I would have developed that confidence. Even if the two times I would have gotten on the list and would have been low enough that I wouldn't have gotten a job, I still would have had that experience, and I passed on the experience out of lack of confidence.
That's a beautiful thing that you just said, because each time that you do an interview or a test, an exam, whatever it is that you are trying to advance in your career, your schooling, whatever, and you fail, you're learning something. Like every time I do an interview and they don't offer me the job, I learned the skills in that interview to do better in the next interview. And that's something that I wish I definitely knew when I was younger, because I probably would have taken more risks.
Right. And I was not, when I was younger, surprisingly, like I said, I don't know how I let myself get talked into certain things, because I struggle with taking risks and stuff like that. As far as, just in general, just I wasn't big on going out and doing any extreme type sports activities. You know, I skied.
That's pretty extreme.
Stuff like that. Well, not to the, for me, it was a huge step, because stepping out of my comfort zone, because I had never skied before and trying it. And then I really liked it. And I was actually kind of good at it to an extent, although I never got crazy at it, but I was good enough that I could go and kind of keep up with people that were very good to an extent. And, but it was not anything I struggled with that. So I don't know what the confidence, I would go back and tell myself now not to, I don't know. I would have told myself to be more confident, to try and have a little more faith in yourself and your abilities and stuff like that.
Be more confident. Believe in yourself.
Yeah, believe in yourself. I think that's the big thing. I lacked that. And again, it's something that I still struggle with. It's something that I still feel that I can be better at. I mean,
I think fear affects everybody at every stage of life. You know, if you are out there and you're trying to find that next job, or you're trying to go back to school, or you're trying to figure out what the next step is for you after a relationship that didn't work out the way you wanted it to be, whatever it is that is, you're harboring that fear. What I do, because I am the same way, I'm human, right? I pray it. I pray it away. I pray for God to remove what I call a character defect. Fear is a character defect. Mm-hmm. Fear doesn't serve a purpose for me. I pray for God to remove the fear and for God to direct my thinking and whatever God's plan is for my life. And then I just do the next right thing, knowing that that's God's will and not my own. And things just fall into place and they happen to work out. It's pretty amazing how God works if you have a little faith. We are at 27:30, so we only have a couple minutes left before our 30 minutes are up. Do you have any last words, Mr. Wilson?
Last words? I don't know.
Speak to your 18-year-old self. Ready?
Oh, my gosh.
3, 2, 1, and go.
Spend your money smart. Be smarter.
You can do this.
Save your money.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Have faith. Take risks.
Yeah. Be confident. Take risks. Like the whole thing, I didn't get that until later on in life. So, I mean, I took a risk when I met you. So I took a risk in it. But as far as being confident, not being turned away, you know what I mean? Not being turned down. Not like I mean, that was a huge risk for me.
I remember you didn't think I was going to like you because
I was 10 years older. I was like, I didn't want her to be the, I think I was going to be the weird
creepy
old guy.
Old man.
That's only 45 then.
Oh, geez, but babe. I'm pretty sure.
Anyways, but I did. I took a risk. So I would tell myself again, you know, not to pass on certain opportunities.
Because your risk paid off. Look where it got you.
Absolutely. And if I had not, if I had gone with my gut instinct was to be scared to even think about asking you out, then I wouldn't be here today. So I got pretty lucky.
But you wouldn't have a wonderful, beautiful, wife. Fabulous wife.
Yes.
I wiped you up. All right, Wilson. Well, on that note, I really appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for sitting down with me for this podcast. It's called Choose Happy because this is something we actively do every day. We choose to be happy. So please, no matter what you're going through, whatever your circumstances are in life as you're listening to this, remember at the end of this podcast to say a prayer to your higher power, your God, your universe, whatever it is that you pray to, for God or the universe to remove your character defect of fear and go out and conquer this world and do what you want and achieve your dreams because life is too short not to. And on that note, we hope you choose happy. Bye.